B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rating.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Twindy, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Greeny, I wish I had better news, and I wish I wasn't always coming on and talking about Chinese basketball, but the Chinese government, the association of sport over there that governs all sports in the country, has issued an order this morning basically restricting team sports going forward. And this is a blow to the pro basketball's restart there. They'd already delayed it last week, and now it's delayed indefinitely. From what I understand, there's just major concern about asymptomatic carriers of the virus. And so the idea that the Chinese Basketball League was going to return very shortly in two different cities with 10 teams playing, the type of format that I and other people envision for the NBA, is now put on hold officially by the government. And we've had, for the last 2 weeks, after a lot of optimism, we've had a series of setbacks in Asia where they've had success in tramping down the new cases of the virus. And so it's disappointing for sure, especially as we look to the future of the NBA and pro sports here.
So I was Brian Windhorst this morning. It's hour number two, Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Mazz and I on remote. Big Jim Murray coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Windhorst relaying the news that the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, once again pushing back their attempts to restart their season. Now I'm reading from a story on ESPN.com. No timetable on when it plans to lift the new restriction. The CBA has been making plans to split its 20 teams and send them to two cities, Mazz, and have them play each other in empty arenas within a month, a plan the NBA might consider down the line. While the spread of the disease has slowed dramatically in China and some aspects of life are headed toward normalcy there, sports officials are concerned about asymptomatic carriers. All right, so why this is so important is that I think, frankly, the whole world might be watching China, and the sports leagues around the world are watching the Chinese Basketball Association, because China was the first place this hit. China was the first place that attacked it. China was, and not that they did everything right, or, you know, but they were the first ones to quarantine and social distancing and do all the things that the rest of the world is doing. So it hit there first. They tried to combat it first. They shut down their leagues first. And now they're trying to come back first. It just, you know, makes sense on the timeline. And if the things they do there work, then the rest of the world follows. If what they do there doesn't work, then everyone's sort of fumbling around for the answer, and everything's put behind. So if you want the NBA and the NHL to return, what you want is the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, to come up with a plan, have it work, and then you follow it. Except they just can't get to executing their plan, which I know is something you've talked about too, Mazz, here in the States, and that is they were going to pick a couple of sites, split the 20 teams in that league, and just hold round-robin tournaments or round-robin schedules in that one building with 10 quarantine teams in each town and stadium, and play out the rest of their regular season like that, and then adjust into the playoffs. So what are your thoughts on this story as it stands right here?
Okay, so again, look, the plan to me makes sense. It's intriguing. I know we talked about it last week. And so the idea is good. You create this little bubble, much like call it an Olympic Village, or as we said last week, like a World Cup venue, right, where all those teams are in that one particular area, and you have multiple venues in a country, and all the action is taking place in those areas. I'm getting more and more discouraged as time goes by, and starting to wonder whether we're ever going to get back on the ice, back on the floor, whatever, as it pertains to the 2019-20 season. But I don't think there's any answer other than to wait it out and see where it goes. And I am also eager to see, in that same story that Windhorst had, and not to turn this into a coronavirus discussion, but allegedly China's going to release statistics later in the week about the number of people in the population that were asymptomatic, to give us some idea what percentage of people have the disease but don't know it. And so I'm interested in seeing what those numbers are. I don't know if we can believe them, but maybe they give us some sort of just initial guideline or guess as to what we're talking about. Because if all these people are walking around thinking that they're healthy and they're not, to me, that changes the equation completely.
It's really the key factor.
It is.
You know, let me just pick up the story. Winor said the CBA planned to house teams in quarantined hotels with multiple temperature checks per day to try and avoid the risk of exposure and spread of the virus. But, Maz, so you can temperature check a guy, but if he's asymptomatic, if he's carrying the virus but isn't showing a temperature, well, then he plays, he passes the virus on to someone else who does show the symptoms. Next thing you know, he gets sick and they have to shut the whole thing down. So what they're, and I'm glad, like, cause I've said a million times, I want these leagues to come back. I want us to do everything we can to possibly play, but it's gotta be done right. And it's gotta be done safely. And it can't be a half measure. And if you ship all these players out to these quarantine zones or these quarantine hotels or these quarantine towns, and you house 6, 8, 10 teams in one city in one venue, and you go through this whole operation of moving all these teams and building these TV studios, and which are the basketball arenas, right? The whole thing. And then one guy gets sick and they have to shut the whole thing down? Like, you can't have that, right? So and just taking their temperature doesn't do it. Because if someone is asymptomatic, then what are you doing? What you have to do, and Windhorst spoke about it, is come up with a test that can immediately test for the coronavirus right there without waiting for the results, and not, just completely separate to the symptoms. And that's sort of what they're really going to have to come up with and have to have on hand and have it ready to roll for everyone that's in one of those quarantine zones. That's a big undertaking.
Well, sure. And look, to me, this gets to the essence of it again, because there are people that have it or might be carrying it that don't know they have it. And so whether they're athletes or not. And so, I mean, I was intrigued by this. There are stories out there today, and I know we've all read a million things, but apparently there's an American company called Abbott Labs that has devised a test, apparently, that has been approved that can give you an answer within 5 minutes for a positive, up to 13 for a negative. As quickly as 5 minutes for a positive, as quickly as 13 for a negative, and the machines, in theory, could be in clinics by next week. But, I don't know where we're going to be in months, but you'd have to do that sort of thing. You'd have to test people regularly.
You'd want the instant results. You'd also have to make the thing less intrusive. Have you seen how they've actually been taking the test with the swab that doesn't just go up your nostril? It basically goes to the back of your skull. And it's from everything I've heard, it's incredibly uncomfortable. So I don't know. Do you want to be going through that every single day? Again, I know this is their livelihood and they want to try to get these leagues back and up and running. And I want that to happen. But if I was one of those players, after one or two of those, I'd be like, all right, I'm good. There's got to be another way.
Depends. Am I making $35 million with a chance to win an NBA championship? I'd stick it up my nose. Not that I would love it. I'm just saying the stakes are big for these guys. The stakes are big for the players. The stakes are big for the league. So there's going to be some sacrifice. But I don't know how that test is conducted, Maz, or how expensive it is to conduct each one. But that's what you're looking at. Instead of temperature checks, what you have to do is actually give them the coronavirus test as you walk in the building. And then you wait the 5-13 minutes, whatever you said. If everyone's clean, game on. Anyone who's not, you're out. And you even have to, keep them separate until they come in. I mean, it's a big undertaking. I'm not saying it's easy. They should still see if they can do it. And, I'm glad China just isn't going ahead and doing it just to have someone test positive. And then they have to shut the whole thing down. And then the NBA or the NHL is going to look at it and go, well, forget about this. This ain't going to work. When China comes back, and if they're going to be the first to do it, I want it to work, because then we have a template.
Yeah, they got to be. I mean, they got to try to get it right, because again, otherwise it just sets everybody back. And so they're better off waiting at the beginning, as you said, really, to make sure that they can figure that thing out. And look, again, if people want to read up for it, I think I saw the story initially this morning in the New York Times. The name of the company is Abbott Labs, and allegedly the test could be in clinics by next week.
Okay, so. let's hear another Windhorse here. Jimmy, just follow up. Give me the second cut that we cut from Brian Windhorse.
There's leagues across the world that are watching the Chinese and how they handle this because they are ahead of everybody in dealing with this virus. Now, the CBA is telling their players today after this order came. It was a private order. It was not issued publicly, but obviously it became known within the league quickly. They were telling them that they're still going to play. To stick with them, there's more than 20 foreign players, more than a dozen Americans who have come back and are in quarantine right now. They say, hold tight, we're still going to play. But one of the things, Greeny, is that the Chinese are aware that all of these eyes are on them. And the last thing that they want is to restart the league, have something set them back, and really do more damage. So the Chinese are being cautious, but we're now looking at probably more than 4 months before they can restart their league after shutting down in January.
Okay, that's China. I don't think it should take 4 months here. And if it does take 4 months, so they shut it down March 11th, right? So April, May, June, July. If it does take 4 months, and again, it shouldn't because you'll be going off of their template. Can they start the season in July and finish it up in September and then start next Christmas? I mean, isn't the NBA blessed with all the time in the world? Because there's some people in that league that want to start in December anyway, and this just gives them the excuse to do it. So here, the good news is this. Time is on the NBA side. And so we'll get more thoughts on this. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports Boston, he's going to join us next, give us what he is hearing in NBA league circles about what they're planning and if the, you know, just what the latest proposals are to get this season back up and running. That's coming up next here on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Show some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the program. Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings, joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline from Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports Boston. Chris Mannix, you see him all the time on the Celtics coverage. Great NBA guy. You may remember the night that they shut it down on March 11th after Rudy Gobert tested positive prior to that game. Chris Mannix said he was dubious whether they'd ever come back and play. And he said that, 3 weeks ago now, almost exactly 3 weeks ago, he had that. And now here we are 20 days later, and there's still no clear path to returning to play. So as Chris joins us now on the horn, Chris, what are you thinking?
Well, Mike, I'm definitely still skeptical on all this, and what I've come around to is two things. One, the level of pessimism on being able to play amongst league officials that don't have kind of a horse in this race, and what I mean by that is kind of ownership guys that are just desperate to get any kind of revenue out of this. The pessimism is still pretty high that the season will be salvaged. If it is salvaged, however, and I'm writing a little bit about this tomorrow, I have no doubt it's going to be salvaged in Las Vegas. I think that's the only alternative that makes sense to most people that I talk to is finding a way in July to quarantine the playoff teams in Las Vegas and to have some form of a tournament that eventually crowns a champion. There's certainly a lot to be worked out, but as we know, the NBA's got a strong relationship with the city. They've got business relationships there with the hotels. It's workable. It's doable. So if this season gets salvaged, I think the only way it gets salvaged is in Las Vegas.
And are we looking at a totally refigured kind of tournament, a totally made-up tournament, something that's sort of tight, compact, or is it all 16 playoff? All 16 playoff teams and all 8 rounds and blah, 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 full playoff, or something that is restructured?
Well, I think all 16 playoff teams would be involved. how it's structured after that is still a moving target. I do think it'd be condensed in some way, shape, or form. In years past, the NBA has gone to a best of five format for the first round. You might see a best of five format for every round in the playoffs. You might see something even shorter than that. I mean, they're not making any illusions, the people that I've talked to, about having some kind of functional, traditional playoff. They just want to find a way to get games on television, to get the revenue that comes with games on television, and to crown, you know, the 74th champion in league history.
Mass?
Chris, one of the things we've been talking a lot about is the idea that the NBA could go deep into the summer, even the beginning of the fall, and then start again at Christmas, the subsequent season, because that's a model that they've discussed in the past. How realistic is that in your mind? And I'm particularly interested in the idea of the season beginning in December and running through the summer. I mean, that sounds like a really interesting proposal.
Yeah, look, Tony, I wrote about this a week or so ago, that there's a lot of people inside the league that love the idea of having a league that starts at Christmas and ends in the late summer. You know, Mark Cuban is all for it. And I've talked to television executives like John Skipper, who used to run ESPN, and Stephen Espinoza, who runs Showtime. And they really don't see any reason why the NBA wouldn't be successful in the summertime. It's kind of a bit of a red herring that when you say that, you know, that summer sports don't work. I mean, I think that summer stuff on television doesn't work because people mostly put crap on television in the summertime. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way there. So there are a lot of people that want to see the NBA start at Christmas time full time and have that be the schedule. But the biggest problem is I don't think they can do that until the television contracts come up. And that's not till, I believe, 2024, when they can negotiate all this into a new deal. Now, this is a new environment. They can do some things short term to make things work, but to establish a league that starts mid-December and ends mid to late August, I don't think you can do that until 2024. Now, the only other thing I would add to all this is, you know, the NBA is willing to push this as far as they can push it. And I think they'd be willing to play games in September, even if that's what it meant. The problem they'd be running into is that if they want to have an 82 game season that ends in June, they'd have to do things that they've been legislating out for years. Like, they've been legislating out the three games and four nights. You don't see as many back-to-backs anymore. You don't see any four games and five nights anymore. They'd have to bring back some stuff that they really don't want to bring back. So these are all things that are topics of conversation right now in the league office, is what could potentially happen if things loosen up around the country.
Chris, and Chris Maddox, Sports Illustrated, joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You said you think Vegas and a tournament in Vegas and the whole league going to Vegas being a path for them. What's in terms of timing? And when Mark Cuban says repeatedly, June 1 is the over-under and I've got the under, what does the rest of the league say? Does he know something we don't? You know, what do you look at in terms of timing and his thoughts on that timing?
Well, I look, you're not making any decisions until mid-May. Like, that's when, you know, presumably the CDC is going to have a new ruling on the size of crowds that you could do. And right now, you know, 50 and 10 and whatever that is, just not feasible for NBA games. So you have to see what that number eventually moves to over the next couple of months. The other thing you have to factor in, and this is something that the players' union and players feel strongly about, you have to have a training camp. Like, you can't come back and say to guys that have been, you know, doing YouTube workouts in their house for the last month plus, that you're going to start playing NBA basketball again. That's how significant injuries happen in the league, and the unions is not going to go for that. So I've heard as long as a four-week training camp that's going to potentially be asked for by players in order to come back. I mean, unless things change that they can get back into gyms and back into facilities to start working out on their own in the next month or so, you're going to need at least 3 or 4 weeks to get these guys in game shape, and that would push you up into early July when you eventually start some kind of season.
Well, Chris, let me just follow up on the players' aspect of it. They have to approve what's going on here, and you've already heard some pushback, LeBron most notably, but will the players go for it? If it has to be in one location, even Vegas, And it has to be, you know, a quarantine situation or a protective bubble situation where you really are limited from where you can go and who you can interact with from the outside. And let's just say you're quarantined in one hotel on one campus for 2 months or whatever it takes. Are the players going to go for that?
I think they will, and I was texting with one player just the other day, and his consistent message back to me was money talks. And look, the NBA, in the next couple of weeks, I do think you're going to see them start to pull the players' salaries. They're going to get paid, I believe, tomorrow is the next paycheck, and then mid-April, I think it's 50-50 right now if they get paid, and certainly after that, it's not going to happen. So, look, I don't think players want to do any of this, but the players I've talked to have said, look, if it means getting paid or not getting paid, they're going to choose getting paid and find a way to make it work.
Maz, any follow-up thoughts here for Chris Mannix?
Well, we've also discussed, Chris, the idea that you know, the playoffs, as we know them, would be thrown into a little bit of state of chaos, and maybe some teams would benefit, some teams wouldn't, from a layoff that long. Do you have any feelings on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, it's hard to say for a couple of reasons. One, like, you assume, like, the older guys would struggle a little bit more than the younger guys. But this reminds me, and you guys might remember this, how players came back from that 1999 work stoppage when, remember, like, Sean Kemp at that time was, like, this high flyer from Seattle, and he came back, like, 300 pounds in Cleveland. So you just don't know what these guys are doing. I know a lot of personal trainers, guys like Rob McClanahan and others who work with high-profile guys who are just chomping at the bit to get out and work with these players once they have some place to work out at. I mean, these guys would settle for, like, you know, an Equinox to be open that they can start working out in and getting these guys into better shape. I mean, I think it really does level the playing field a little bit, because you could have, like, say, like, you have the Memphis Grizzlies, who are the 8th seed in the Western Conference right now, and you've got a bunch of young guys there that are staying in great shape and ready to go. And then you got the Lakers, an older team with guys that maybe can't get their engines started quite as quickly. What happens in a first-round series there? What if Memphis is in so much better shape than the Lakers are? I mean, these are all variables that anything you try to project is just guesswork, because we have no idea what these guys will look like. I mean, who is going to be the Sean Kemp of this work stoppage? I mean, I don't think anyone's going to get that big, but I think somebody might get in that neighborhood.
Chris, in its own way, though, I'm sorry, Mike, but in its own way, doesn't that make it fun and interesting?
Oh, I think it makes it great. I think shortening to a best of five or even a best of three in the first round, it gives the NBA a measure of unpredictability it's never had before. And, you know, the rating's going to be through the roof. I mean, it's just going to be, no matter when these games are played, I mean, people are going to tune in en masse. It's going to make people really think twice about playing summer basketball. I mean, look, I talk to a lot of players, and I'm not kidding. They're literally doing what you or I are doing. I go up to my base, we're down in my basement. I put on a YouTube video, and I'm probably doing the same workout that, you know, elite athletes are doing right now. They just don't have any place to go, any place to work but inside their homes.
Chris, quickly, you want them to do this? Do you want them to come back and play this tournament in Vegas?
I would like to see a training camp of at least 3 weeks. I'd like to see a five-game regular season, then bring on Vegas. I think it'd be cool. I mean, look, I don't want to spend like 4 weeks in Vegas in the middle of the summer, but, I mean, hell, I think it'd be a pretty cool way to finish the season.
Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Okay, Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports Boston. We'll go back to your phones, leftover football stuff that we did in the first hour. This item, you want them to come back. You want them to come back if that's what it means. A closed tournament in Vegas to determine the NBA champion. Would that be a legit championship for you? Do you want them to do that? Your calls at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mazz, before I go to the phones, let me ask you, Do you think that format, you know, you asked Mannix that, does it benefit any one team over another or a kind of team over another? Do you have a thought on that? Do you think it benefits anyone?
Well, I just think that in the NBA, it opens up the variables that wouldn't otherwise exist. Because, so, you know, like he mentions age. I didn't focus on that one in particular, but I think that the game can be so based on chemistry that you built over. Obviously, it's built on talent, so we'll start there. But with the layoff and everything else, I just think, and then in a short period of time, I think you're liable to have more upsets. So, you know, in some ways, I think this is a good thing for a team like the Celtics. That, you know, there are a lot of variables that come into play, and a team like the Bucks that had all this momentum, now they come back out of it, and who knows what the hell it all looks like. It might take a little while for teams to sort of regain some of that. And, I didn't have a specific answer as to which element I think it would affect one over the other, but I do think it's not as simple as, you know, 4 or 5 month layoff and the Lakers and Bucks come back and play for the championship. And part of me says that it won't be those two teams.
Okay, your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Mike's in Marblehead. What do you got, Michael?
Real quick, just to go off what Miles just said. I mean, upsets are good for the NBA in general because it's such a league with so few upsets. But Maddox kind of took my point about the ratings. I have a question. Do the ratings affect the salary cap for the following year?
No.
No, they don't. Okay, I just knew revenue did. But either way, I mean, the ratings would be crazy high. I'm a hockey guy, but I would watch every single minute of this.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to let you go. The ratings for anything are going to be through the freaking roof. We talked about this yesterday, Maz. The NFL draft. Can you imagine what they're going to do coming
Huge.
Up this month?
Huge.
I mean, we're dying for anything.
It's been high for marble racing, for God's sakes. People are starved for anything sports.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was in the car the other day, and I was listening to the Patriots playoff games and the Bruins playoff games. You know, Game 7 with the Leafs in 2013, the one that gave birth to Jim Murray as we know him. Like, you know, to me, I am absolutely thirsting for it. That I'm watching, you know, the Mets and the Astros were on from the 1986 playoffs, for crying out loud. I found myself getting sucked into that.
David New Bedford waiting patiently on a Tom Brady thought. Basically, the Tampa Bay GM yesterday said Tom Brady sold them on him versus the other way around. David, go ahead.
Yes, Maz, I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. I find it kind of odd that normally a team would be calling Brady. In this case, Tom Brady's calling them, and as a Patriots fan, I think that is a bad look for the Patriots to have Tom Brady is so desperate that he wanted to leave New England that he's calling Tampa versus the team calling them. And I wonder.
Yeah, Dave, I'll cut you off. Maz, your thoughts?
So I think it's a bad look for everybody, Brady included. It tells you that there obviously weren't a lot of places for Brady to go. He didn't have a market. And B, that he was content to reach out to Tampa Bay to fill that void because, I don't think winning is as important to him as it's been in the past. And when I say as important, I don't mean it's a zero. I mean that there are other factors that come into play that he prioritized in that decision. So, I mean, that's a bad look, really, for everyone involved. That the Patriots were willing to, that he wanted to go play for Tampa over the Patriots is a bad look for the Patriots and a bad look for him.
I mean, doesn't it also, I could have it wrong, but to me it just reeks of, I need any legitimate offer that allows me to get out of here and I'll take it. And by the time he got to Tampa on that Wednesday night, you know, when he was allowed to talk to him, Tampa was the only team that made halfway sense for him, and so he was desperate for Tampa to come in with a legit offer because that's how badly he wanted out. I mean, that's sort of the feel to me.
Yes, and again, so it tells you about how bad things were here, which, again, I think reflects poorly on the Patriots, and it also tells you how desperate he was and also what he's valuing now, that he's going to say, I'll take Tampa. Give me Tampa. I'm good enough with that. I just need somewhere to go that isn't New England. And so to me, this comes back to some of the stuff we talked about last fall, Mike, right after the season, I should say, when this thing started to come apart and we said, I don't know that they want to be together anymore. I don't know that he wants to be there, and I don't think they want him either. I think that we can definitively look at it now and say neither side wanted it to go on anymore.
And do you know why we can say that, Maz? Because the Patriots are going with freaking Jared Stidham, and Tom Brady's going to the freaking Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Absolutely.
Neither improved their situation. You know, both took sort of last gasp, desperate. And, I, you know, Stidham might be their guy, but, I mean, look, you know, going from Tom Brady to Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, I'm sorry, was not the master plan this year, I don't think. But they were willing to do it because that's how willing they were to divorce Tom Brady and vice versa, which is why he's in Tampa.
Yeah, I, again, it's really stunning when you think of it in those terms. And again, it, you know, from Brady's standpoint, and I don't know how much, you know, we've spent on this in particular, whether you and Murray touched on it yesterday. But I do think that Brady reached a point in his life where he said, you know what, I want to go play football. I'm going to have a million guys to throw to. The weather's going to be good. I'm going to be closer to my son in New York. Giselle's going to be closer to South America. We're going to have a much more convenient and happy life. And if we win, great. If we don't, I've won enough, and I'm okay putting up some big numbers. And so, again, I'm not saying winning's a zero, but I do think that psycho-competitiveness and that desire to win that kept Brady in New England for 20 years, which, again, is still his greatest attribute, that has clearly waned. And I'm not criticizing him for it, because the fact that he kept it this long is a miracle. But I don't think there's no way this decision was based on football. There's just no way.
Okay, we got Brady there on the table if you want it. We've got Greg Bedard saying the Patriots might punt on this year's NFL draft because of the pandemic, the salary cap, the roster, those things. Again, Bedard thinks the NFL season might get pushed back, and that's also been reported elsewhere as well. That's on the table. All this NBA stuff with Chris Mannix is on the table. Next hour, I want to get to the Chris Sale surgery, the TB12 promotions during the coronavirus. All this stuff is going to be on the table with your calls. Right after this in our long commercial-free segment.
Duggar Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Did the Pats blow it on that, Greg? Final thought on the Brady thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, you know, all Belichick had to do was be, you know, a little bit human, a little bit, you know, meet him a little bit. But I guess that's just not in the cards.
That was Greg Bedard earlier. Maz chimed in there as well. I just keep going back to, though, what if Bill was human and the money still sucked? Didn't have to be both. Didn't have to be a real offer and a conciliatory nature of Belichick. I mean, that's just it. It has to be both. Bill could kiss his ass as much as Brady wanted, but if the offer still sucked, then, you know, what was that going to... To me, that still wouldn't... I don't think Brady would feel respected. Or part of the process. It would have to be a legit offer and, you know, movement from Belichick. Turns out he got nothing. Turns out he got neither. And it apparently wasn't even close on either. Although the money, if you believe Bedard, Gasper, rather, the year before, was competitive. So, who knows? Maybe they would have gotten competitive this time. But it doesn't feel Bill was close to giving Brady what he wanted in terms of that off-field thing.
Well, and it does tell you, too, that by the time they got to that stage, Brady was done. Again, Mike, go back to the year before, right? After the Eagles Super Bowl, Brady was telling people he was out of there. So it clearly had reached a boiling point where it was spilling over the sides, and Brady just said, that's it, I'm done. And at that stage, it just felt to me like, you know, the miracle is that they won it the year against the Rams. That they just pulled one out of their hats there because it felt like it was already coming apart well into that year.
I agree with that. 617-779-0985. Craig's in New Bedford on this topic. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
You know, I think one of the, underreported aspects of the whole Brady leaving was that him and his agent, it's been reported, they were the ones that were kind of laying out the terms to other teams, and he really wanted 2 years, right? I believe, you know, if he would have settled for 1 year, he would have had probably 12, you know, maybe up to 15 teams interested for 1 year. But when he laid out the, you know, the demands that he has to have 2 years guaranteed, it really scared a lot of teams off.
I'll tell you, that's an interesting point, Maz. If he had said 1 year, do you think he would have had a better market?
Yes. Yep. And I think that, but I also wonder whether he would have been willing to do 1 year for the right team. Because, again, I just think he had it with the Patriots by that point, and he'd had it with Bill. And so if San Francisco, for example, had said, Tom, hey, look, we want to bring you in, but we only want to do it for 1 year. We have our designs on something else in the market. Let's just say that at the time, Cousins was still available. And so we're not sure about the subsequent year, but we'll put in some sort of mechanism that will allow for an option or, you know, whatever. We'll figure it out. But, you know, you can come home here. Would you be willing to do it? I think he might have taken the cheese on that. I can't guarantee it. But if it's San Francisco or a team like that, maybe I think when the circumstances are right, you bend a little.
So that's something he should have considered. You know, for a better brand, a better team, a better option, leave yourself more options in terms of that length. But I think for him, Maz, the second year for him was a much of sign of respect as it was anything else. In other words,
sure.
The Pats hadn't given him that extra year for how many years did he go in there looking for that extension? They wouldn't give it to him. And I think Brady got his back up to where he said, my next deal is going to be for that second year part of the whole reason he did this was to shove it to the Patriots and prove it to the Patriots that deal was there. So I think that the second year was sort of wrapped up into the ego play as much as anything.
Definitely.
And he may have hurt himself with that.
Yeah, so definitely. You know, and just quickly, Mike, since the caller asked the question, I think there's sort of a partner question to that, which is, okay, he goes on the market and he demands 2 years. What if nobody had given it to him? What if only the Chargers in Tampa Bay, and ultimately they were willing to do it. But if no one had given it to him, what would he have done then? And I'm starting to wonder whether he would have retired.
Okay, here's Ryan in Georgia on the NBA playoff format from Chris Mannix. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I figured it's a NBA, it's a wild situation anyways with everything going on. So the one thing we all missed out on was the NCAA tournament and March Madness. So I figured my thought process was the NBA can give that to us. You can give the Lakers and Bucks a bye, and you can set up your 2 through 2 plus 15 and so on in that open around, and you can set it up to where the lower seed, you know, has to beat the higher seed twice, whereas the higher seed has to only win one game to advance. And then as you advance through the brackets and get to like your conference finals or final four, and then your NBA finals, you can maybe take it to best out of five and then best out of seven. But that way, you know, the regular season that was played so far wasn't exactly a waste because you at least got your, you know, your playoff seedings, so to say, and then you could just run on with an NBA version of a March Madness tournament.
Okay, Ryan. To me, it would be amazing, Maz, if they went to – I mean, the thing he was talking about where the underdog has to beat him twice, like I'm not sure about that, or I mean, I don't even fully understand what he was talking about. But there was one proposal, I think it was last week we were talking about, where the first round was a series, and then the second and third rounds were one and done, one off, single elimination rounds, and then you got to the NBA Finals, and that was back to five games. Sounded convoluted at the time. It still is convoluted. But there is something about those one-and-dones, those elimination games, in an NBA setting. That would be fascinating if they went to that.
Well, and if the NBA is looking to create, a little bit of a chaotic environment, right? Draw people to watch. Not that they're going to have to do that because I think people are going to watch anyway. One-and-done's a good way to do it because we all know that anything can happen in one game. Just a point of note, because I'm sure you guys saw this. Did you see, just to speak to the thirst that people have for sports, that NBA players are going to compete in the video game and they're going to televise that this week?
Yeah, on Friday night, yeah, the NBA 2K20. And I don't know, I'll watch it. Sure.
God, no, please. I can't.
If there's going to be trash talk, I don't know, I might be in. Those guys take that thing seriously. I know you hate that kind of thing, Mike, but, you know, I'm so desperate for any of that kind of content and anything that is, you know, just a hair competitive that I'll tune in.
I'm not that desperate. I'm not that. Oh, believe me, I'm desperate. I am not that desperate. I am not. If you ever out there catch me watching a video game, never mind playing it, but okay, maybe my kid drags me into something or something, right? Like all of you, I used to smoke pot and play a little bit of video game, but that was a million years ago. So like, but playing it's one thing. If you ever catch me watching a video game for sport, you have the right to take me out back and smack me across the face with whatever device you can find.
You might get there. This looks like we got a long road
ahead
of us.
I will never be that desperate. Nope, I will go sell insurance. I will do something else if I ever have to watch effing video games. No,
I bet you it does good ratings.
Well, that's fine, but that speaks to the state of our world. Lawrence in Westford. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, I found out yesterday that the stadium in Inglewood, California, and in Las Vegas, the construction continues. And that seems to go against everything the the NFL talked about with safety. And I wonder, what do you think about that?
So, you know, outrage in the times of coronavirus that they should shut down those construction projects. I mean,
my understanding is that they've ultimately left it up to the construction companies in each area, and they've had workers test positive, one each, in each venue. And they've continued, and they're doing some kind of verbal health screening, which is, hey, you feel good today? Yeah, sure. All right, get to work.
So, you know, we're going to talk about this with Chris Sale. We're going to talk about this with TB12 here coming up. But outrage in the time of coronavirus, like things that we can be outraged about if we want to be. Probably should be outraged by, but are we, if we're being sort of honest with ourselves? And this is, you know, this is one of them. If you're a football fan in Las Vegas and Los Angeles, and you're also concerned about the coronavirus, do you want them to shut down construction of those facilities? And if you're a Rams or Chargers fan, you want to go back to the Coliseum or that stupid soccer stadium or whatever, do you want them to keep building that stadium? And if you're being honest, like, how do you feel? I
know I don't really care. I don't. And I'm sure that makes me some kind of ghoul. But, like, the outcry, especially over Chris Sale, like, I don't know. Are you really taking Dr. Neil Eletrash, a specialist, away from the ICU? And you know, maybe he has a ventilator that could be used somewhere else. But, I mean, of course, like, a specialist is still going to probably go on and do his business and take care of professional athletes. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, let's hold off on the Sale thing for one second. But the building of the stadium sort of falls along the same lines, which is
totally.
It's not being advised right now by our public safety experts, by the scientists, by the doctors. Stay home, social distancing, don't congregate in groups, even if it's up on a roof or a scaffolding or a steel beam or whatever the case may be. And yet they're doing it because they got to get those stadiums built. So it's sort of along the same lines of Maz prioritizing sports over public safety.
Well, so look, you know, I mean, I can't speak to the particulars of how close people are to one another when they're doing some of these construction projects. Like, it feels to me like some of these guys are sitting in a crane by themselves. Okay, so I would argue, and by the way, this has nothing to do with stadiums per se. If you told me that they were putting up a bridge in Boston and that, you know, the bridge project had to be halted, I would tell you, if they don't have to be next to each other, can we let them put up the bridge?
Thank you.
Like, I would want them to be doing that. So civic projects, to me, I look at that and say, as long as there aren't 10 people crammed into a spot, then, you know, and there is social distancing and, you know, nobody's at any more risk than they would be sitting in their house, I would say, just can we go ahead and continue with construction? Because I think that's important.
Do you include those stadiums as civil projects?
Again, depending on how close people are, I would say yes. You know, they are, you know, they're significant elements in the economy of both of those places. There are a lot of people that are still working as a result of it. And so I would say yes, because the ramifications of this thing from a financial standpoint, I think we're all starting to understand more and more with each passing day, because every company is going through it. And so anything that allows us to continue to, to build in particular. Construction's a big one for me, because in theory you are, you know, you're maintaining the infrastructure of the community. And I think that is huge.
Okay, so, let me just ask the people. Are you upset that they're continuing those construction projects? when people are told to stay home and work from home and not congregate in groups? Should they be going ahead with those construction projects? How do you feel about the Chris Sale surgery? Let's get to that. Also, Brady, TB12, hawking immunity. Immune products, well, immunity, sure. Products to help your immune system in times of coronavirus. Are you outraged by that? Let's get outraged in time of coronavirus. We'll do that after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.